Sí. Tēnā koutou ko Waniamata Baptist Church te whare, ko Mark toko ingoa, ko Waniamata ahau. I'm Mark, nice to be here. I also work with the youth here, lovely group of people that are not on cafe today, which is great. We get to stand around down here and get a coffee together. Instead of having two stand-arounds. Who is enjoying Malachi so far?
Yes.
Just three of you. Well, we live in a world where commitment is fleeting. Commitment doesn't stand. Commitment is given up very easily. But in amongst the world and its changing commitments, we have an unchanging God,
Amen.
A God who is committed. So Malachi, now I've got an intro, and then we're going to look at the passage, and then there's the crux, and then at the end there are some takeaways for you to take home and apply to your life.
Yes.
And I'm going to help you to do that by giving you something at the end of the message. Some things I'm not going to be doing with this passage are standing and staying strong on prophecy. Prophecy comes through all the way through Malachi, and it's been fulfilled. Jesus is here. He is with us now. So that's been fulfilled. He is coming again. That is yet to be fulfilled, and that is what we wait for. We live in hope. God had Malachi. We don't even know if Malachi was actually his name, because Malachi just means messenger. Now, if you go online, you hear it called Malachi, and some people say Malachi. Whichever way you say it is fine. But it's a book that was written for the Jew, for the Levites, as God's priests, but it's a book of hope for us today. It is a book that challenges us. Where is your heart? Where does it sit? And all the challenges and struggles and things we have going on in our lives, which we all do, where does your heart sit? Because he's ultimately in control. And if you have Jesus, you're actually on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Yeah. You know, there's the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Yeah,
great for those who have Jesus. Terrible for those who do not have the seal of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That is my first challenge to you. He's ultimately in control, and he calls us to faithfulness. Being true to what God wants from us. He calls us to holiness, being God's children and being genuine in our love for him. He calls us to humility, living according to God's word. And he calls us to generosity, allowing the Spirit of God to lead us to give of our time. Beautiful testimony this morning. Our resources and a spirit for others. For others. So we can easily take Malachi and look at it, and we can see a guy with a big stick. Thank you, Fiona, for the stick. There's a lot of things you're not doing. And we see God as this old man with a big red beard, with a beard and a stick. And because you're not doing it, dun, dun, dun. Here is your punishment. You get to listen to me for the next. Hopefully, you're not just waiting from the brilliance from the front this morning. And then you can walk out of here afterwards and be unchanged and go, that was a good sermon. That was really good. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully you're reading Malachi for yourself. I'm going to move that because it's a distraction. I want to throw it for my dogs. Who don't bring it back, by the way. They play, they've got their own game they play. I hope that you are not just waiting for Sunday to hear a message from God given to Malachi, passed on to whoever's preaching on the Sunday. Again, thank you, Fiona. Are you reading it for yourself? Are you diving into it for yourself? Are you letting the Holy Spirit speak to you about how does this apply to me? See, God is using Malachi to enable the people to search their own hearts. Not just the people of 2,000 years ago, but the people of today. It is a book of hope for today and for the future, right up until Jesus comes back. Can you look in your own heart with honesty and integrity and answer those important questions? You have to answer them for yourself. We've heard, how has God loved you? Can you see God's love in your circumstances, or do your circumstances and challenges decide whether you believe in God at a specific time? God's love isn't dictated by our circumstances or by life's challenges. It's rooted in his unchanging character. His provision, his purpose, his protection, his promises have been fulfilled throughout generations. Our focus needs to be on the blessings we have received, not the lack that we perceive. Our focus needs to be on his blessings we have received, not the lack that we perceive. Secondly, how have I honoured God? Has worship become routine, hollow, a transaction, like putting your FPOS card in the machine, rather than a true reflection of love and awe of God? Have we ever approached God with less than our best, offering him our leftovers instead of our best and first fruits? Do we approach God with the awe that he deserves? Are we offering the best of our time, our energy, our devotion? And then we've heard, how am I being faithful? How am I faithful in my relationship with God and with others? See, our betrayal of each other in relationship mirrors a betrayal of God. Do we not all have one Father, one God that created us all? When we are unfaithful in our relationship with others, we are unfaithful to God. Faithfulness to others is intertwined with faithfulness for God. And today, how do I see God's justice? See, we're allowed to wrestle with these things. We're allowed to wrestle. Promise, well, maybe I shouldn't promise, God might not break your hip like he did to someone else wrestling with him. But you can wrestle with these things. And as we do, we find that God is unchanging in his love, unchanging in his direction, unchanging in his purpose, unchanging in his plan, and the best part is his salvation, his adoption, eternal adoption as heirs for all that we are called into for his purposes. Malachi is a book of hope for today, tomorrow, and the future. We're going to turn. Have I missed a page? No, I haven't. It's all right. I had thought I had it the wrong way around. In your Bibles, can you turn to Malachi 2, chapter 2, verse 17? We're going to start there. It's the last verse in chapter 2, and then we're going to read through to verse 7 in chapter 3. It will come up on the screen for you as well. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? You do it when by your actions you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger. We're in chapter 3. I send my messenger, and he shall prepare a way for me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you all seek, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger or angel of the covenant whom you desire, whom you behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the priests, the son of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then will the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in ancient years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those who oppress the hireling, the worker, and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and who turn aside from the resident from his right and fear not, says the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. See, we could have the big stick, but Jacob has not been consumed, because it is such a book of grace, mercy, and hope for us all. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances, even you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall I return? Well, if that's you today, we want to pray with you after the service. How will you return? Come and talk with Fiona, one of the elders, myself after the service. And we can help you to return and restore your relationship with God. If you are not in that place right now where the Holy Spirit has sealed you for eternity, for the second coming of Christ, and to be ready for that, today's your day. See, born out of frustration and disillusionment, Israel asks, where is the God of justice? Can you imagine, it's going to be hard, but can you imagine a world where corruption thrives, where the wicked prosper and the righteous seem forgotten? It's hard to imagine a world like that. Or is it? That's a rhetorical question. Okay, justice. What are your views on justice? Call them out. What have we got? What are your views on justice? Anybody?
Jail.
What was that? I didn't hear that one.
Standing up for the oppressed and marginalised.
Standing up for the oppressed and marginalised. Is that justice?
Fines.
Okay, I'll change the question because it's not rhetorical. That means you're allowed to answer. Is there a difference between what we view as justice and what God views as justice?
Yes.
How so? Or do you want me to help?
You help.
Mum's asking for my help. Well, shall we watch a bit of video, Eric?
Oh, please. That's blooming. You look ridiculous.
Got it?
You ready?
I'm ready.
You think he's ready?
He's not ready.
You know who I am, right? That's my name.
Sir Shooting.
Who are you, ma'am? How you doing?
Don't ask me how I'm doing. Where's my money?
The money, I do not owe her anything.
Oh, please. She ran out of my house and slammed the door, breaking the window. I was extremely upset, so I grabbed a rock and tossed it gently at her car. I'd like 10 million people to hear that you've done something stupid. That's my joy in life.
my father used to say.
You want me to grab one out of the air? What did he used to
say? He used to say to me, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Don't try to teach a pig to sing. It doesn't work and it annoys the pig. Dumb ideas come from people who have dumb brains.
No doubt.
Did you ever hear the expression, beauty fades, dumb is forever? Either you're playing dumb or it's not an act. You see, they don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous and 5'10". Sit down. I am a truth machine, sir. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Don't be a liar. I eat them up for breakfast. You lie to me, I'll wipe up the floor with you worse than anybody else who's ever tackled you. You better tell me the truth because I'm much smarter than you are. I love the truth.
Yes, sir.
If you don't tell me the truth, you're going to be eating your shoes.
The truth?
No, I'm here asking you to lie. Your stories will crack a baloney.
Excuse me?
On your best day, you're not as smart as I am on my worst day when I'm sleeping.
Yes, I have stupid right here.
You think you're smarter than I am?
Huh?
That's not a hard question.
No.
Duh. You thought this was going to be easy?
No, ma'am.
It's not going to be easy. It's not an answer. Well is not an answer. It's not an answer. It's not an answer. It's not an answer. You know that face? That is the guiltiest face I've seen all day. Guilty. Baloney. Ridiculous. You stuck Miss Doyle, who is a single parent raising three children, with bills for your cosmetic dentistry. And you think that I am not going to humiliate you in front of 10 million people?
When you lay it out like that, yes,
if
I am.
If your mother didn't lay it out for you like that, I'm going to lay it out for you like that. You speak, I rule, and then you shut up. Do you understand?
When I was living in that shed, you know, I was watching the TV and I just happened to see your show.
If you would have watched me more frequently, Dion, you would never be here today. Yeah.
Isn't she awesome? Justice has become a TV show for your entertainment. Justice of the world is mocked, is laughed at. So, we are now leaving Judge Judy's courtroom and we're coming back live to WBC and God's message to us through Malachi. God has become weary because of their complaints and have become tiresome, not because of God's indifference, not because he doesn't care, not because he doesn't love, not because he doesn't have compassion, but because of the people's hypocrisy that blinds them to the truth. Justice, it's all the same, isn't it? Justice, is it all the same? No? Yeah? What about Shira Law? That's got justice in it. Is that true justice? What about karma? Karma's got justice, isn't it? You get what you deserve. You do something bad will happen to you. Is that justice? What about justice in jail? There's a different form of justice. Is that the right justice? Does the Quran hold the right justice? What does the Bible have? Which justice is right? Which justice is God talking about? See, we can have confusion about just what is justice. Morning, Rob. What is God's justice and how does it differ from the many justices that we have given to us today? Because I know that God's justice is different to the world's justice. At its core, the human pursuit of justice is an attempt to create a just society by establishing impartial laws, settling disputes, and punishing wrongdoing. This understanding is largely retributive. It means you do something bad, you get punished for it. It could be restorative. You have to pay back what you took. Fix what you broke. But it focuses on either punishing offenders for their actions or repairing the harm they have caused. The principle eye for an eye. You know, many people take that, oh, you hurt me, I'm going to get you. But But see, an eye for an eye was a leveling field. It was saying that if you were going to retaliate or offer retribution, it had to be not a whole life for an eye. It had to equal, be fair to what was done to you. And that's where that comes from. So from that principle to modern legal systems grappling with rehabilitation and social reintegration, the goal of human justice is to primarily to regulate behaviour and ensure a functional society in this temporal world that we live in. Earthly justice is practical. It's evolving, and we've heard God's justice doesn't change. It's inherently limited. Its key attributes are shaped by the need for fairness and functionality within a flawed human society. Our laws change to suit what's going on. And sometimes they're changing not for the better, to suit a group of people or a certain culture, rather than being based on truth. But a lot of our laws are based on God's truth. See, human justice is based on publicly agreed rules. The goal is to create a predictable and stable society where individuals know what is expected of them and what the consequences are, what they will face for breaking those rules that you just made. It's reliant on evidence and proof. This commitment to proof is a safeguard against random punishment or punishment from the whim of the decider, and is embodied in the legal standard of you're innocent until you're proven guilty. I dare you to try and say that to God on that day. I'm innocent until proven guilty. And God opens up your heart. Oops. It's administered through due process. You know, you have the right to a fair hearing before an impartial judge or jury. You have the right to counsel, you know, that someone to legally represent you and help you look through all those things that the law has in there that we have no knowledge of, but apparently we agreed to make in the first place. You need to be told what it is you've done wrong. You must be informed of the specific charges against you. And you're also given the opportunity to confront your accusers, to question the evidence and the witnesses that have been brought before you. These procedures are designed to protect individuals from the state's power and ensure that justice is not only done, but it is seen to be done. Earthly justice has three potential goals when dealing with wrongdoing: retribution, rehabilitation, and restoration. Sounds great, eh? But, the most defining thing about our human justice, earthly justice, is its imperfection. It is administered by fallible human beings and is subject to bias, errors, social prejudices. Laws can be unjust, evidence can be misinterpreted, and inequalities can affect outcomes. Because of this, earthly justice is constantly evolving. Societies continually debate, reform, and amend their laws and legal systems in the ongoing pursuit of a fairer and more effective system. Human justice is inherently limited by finite knowledge. Do we know everything? No, we don't. I'll answer for you. We don't know everything. Who knows everything? God knows everything. So in stark contrast, so we've looked at what earthly justice is. Is that the justice that the people of Malachi are wanting? Is that what they're wanting from God? changing, unjust, misinterpreted, even. I don't think so. So in stark contrast, divine justice is portrayed as perfect, absolute, emanating from an omniscient and omnipotent God, all-knowing, all-powerful God. This form of justice is not merely about making a judgment on your actions, but extends to the innermost thoughts and intentions of the individual. Remember when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount? How did Jesus transform law from the Levites to the law that God intended? It was way broader, deeper. See, the key attributes of divine justice: omniscience. God is all-knowing. God's judgment is based on a complete and unerring knowledge of all the facts, all of the motivations, all of the circumstances. Unlike human courts, there are no hidden truths or overlooked details. Divine justice does not have impartiality. Divine justice is free from biases of race, bias of wealth or social status, social norms that plague our current legal systems. All individuals are judged to the same divine standard. There is the integration of mercy and grace. A defining characteristic of divine justice is that interplay between mercy and forgiveness. While sin and wrongdoing are acknowledged, the possibility of redemption and divine grace offers a path to reconciliation that is often absent from the stricter confines of our laws. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the ultimate expression of God's justice and mercy. God's justice has an eternal perspective. Divine justice operates with an eternal perspective where the ultimate consequences of one's whole life are weighed. This extends beyond our societal order to the eternal destiny of your soul. God's answer through Malachi was a stark warning. The God of justice that they sought was indeed coming, but his arrival would be a day of refining fire. He would send his messenger to prepare the way. And then the Lord himself would suddenly come to his temple, this day of judgment. However, it would not be a blanket punishment of all their enemies, but a purification of his own people, starting with the priests. And it's also, so we have it's a twofold prophetic utterance of the messenger coming, beginning that refining work in our lives, but then he is coming back for that final, remember I said earlier, great and terrible day of the Lord. That's what God calls it. It's going to be great for some who have the seal of the Holy Spirit, not great for others who don't. And our soul and that eternal destination is judged by our impartial God, who works with integrity. And then sorry, just speaking in tongues. There is no translation for that other than I messed up. No impartiality, the integration of mercy and grace. Is all-knowing, all-powerful. Can we bring up the next slide, please? So here we have the differences between... Can you all see that? God's understanding of justice and humanity's understanding of justice. So the basis of judgment, omniscient understanding of actions, thoughts, and intentions. God knows everything, sees everything. There's nothing we do he doesn't know about. There's no thought we have that he doesn't know about. No motivation that he doesn't know about. And humans' understanding of justice is based on observable evidence, testimony, and interpretation of the law, which can change the outcomes. Primary goal, upholding divine moral order, redemption. Redemption and eternal destiny. Yeah. Human justice is about maintaining social order, deterring crime, and providing retribution or restoration. God's understanding of justice encompasses all of an individual's life and extends into the afterlife. Our justice is generally limited to a specific action that violate the laws. The role of mercy, a central component offering forgiveness and a path to reconciliation. And our justice can be a factor in sentencing, but is often secondary to retribution or some legal precedent that's gone on before. And the ultimate outcome, eternal reward or punishment, our spiritual evolution, societal penalties such as imprisonment, fines, or community service for the human side. So Israel, coming back to Israel and the question, where is this God of justice? It stemmed from a place of profound disillusionment, misunderstanding of divine righteousness. They expected a transactional relationship with God where their outward religious acts would immediately guarantee prosperity and the punishment of their perceived enemies. Malachi's powerful prophecy serves to shatter the simplistic worldview, reminding them that it is true justice and it begins with covenant, as we heard from Fiona, covenant faithfulness, sincere worship, righteous living within your community. The God of justice was not absent, but was calling his people to reflect on their own character before he would bring about the ultimate restoration and judgment that they're craving. Aligning your sense of judgment with the divine is a journey that shifts the focus from punishment to restoration, from judgment to mercy. So, how can we better understand and practice a more divine form of justice? All right, so we're coming into land, and last week the rapture didn't happen. Did you notice that? Well, hang on. Where's Royce and Anthea and Phil? Oh, so it didn't happen. The other big event that was prophetically talking about was the fact that Israel blew the shofars on the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets in Jerusalem. 100 shofars blown all at the same time in Israel, in Jerusalem. And of course, prophetically, that's supposed to mean something. Well, Malachi says, Jesus is coming. He's going to refine your heart. He's going to burn off the dross. He's going to watch intently while he does it. And then he's going to lead us into eternity with himself. That's the only prophecy that we need to know. Now, I want to give you an opportunity though. So, Jesus came, died, he's coming again. When he comes back, he's going to come back the way that he left, which is in the clouds. 2 Thessalonians says the dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air. Then those who are alive in Christ will rise to meet him in the air as he's coming back for his millennial reign, however long that lasts. He'll have his millennial reign, and then at the end of that, Satan's going to get released, and Satan's going to have a bit of time. At the end of that time, God, there's going to be a big battle apparently, because Satan's going to rise up his armies, but God just goes, just like he did with Satan at the beginning, and it says that Satan, his angels, his followers, all not sealed by the Holy Spirit, and hell will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Okay, here's my challenge. If that's not what you believe, bring your Bible and come and talk to me. Okay, bring your Bible and let's nut it out and talk about it. Show me what you believe, but you must bring your Bible. As far as the prophecy of Malachi is concerned, that's my final word. Malachi prophesied it, and it's already happened. We've got Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope you do. If you haven't, let's talk. You are the new temple of God. Apparently they're going to rebuild a temple again. What I would ask you to do is be aware when man is trying to make it look like biblical prophecy is coming true. Because as we're seeing, it's not. What man is saying is not true. If you have the Holy Spirit in here, there'll be a discernment. I think discernment is one of the greatest gifts God has given us to what is true and what is false, what is possible. Now, I love looking at these prophecies, don't get me wrong. I love looking to see how people come to that position. And I think also I love a little bit pulling it apart. And I get a feeling in my own spirit. Is this what God's saying to me? Is this what God is really doing? You are the temple of God, the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. Holy Spirit will guide you, instruct you how to look inward. Now, sorry, Anthea, I know we shouldn't have more than a couple of applications for our lives at the end of a message, but I've got 10. Sorry, Anthea, if you were sitting right there, I'd be looking at you. But I've got 10, and I've also got something for you, because 10 is a lot, eh? If that was my class at school, that's a lot for them to remember. So I'm picking it's going to be a lot for you to remember as well. So at the end of the service, I made you a gift. I got a bookmark. And it has all 10 points on it of how God instructs us to according to his system of justice. Okay, so they're all out there on the counter. Don't go home with that one. Put it in your Bible. Have a look at it. Because let's face it, some of us will forget what I said as soon as we walk out the door. Only being honest. It's not dementia. Just saying. Okay, take one. Have a look. So I prepared that for you. They're all out there. Now, if there's not enough, I'll make some more. So, Holy Spirit will guide you. He will instruct you. He will help you to look inward first. Before judging others, practice a rigorous self-examination. You are your doctor. Divine justice considers the heart, the intentions, not just the outward actions. Ask yourself, what are my own biases? Where have I fallen short? What are the true motives behind my actions? Because this fosters humility, and that's necessary to approach justice with compassion. The Holy Spirit will guide you and instruct you how to practice active mercy. Human justice often seeks retribution, but divine justice is inseparable from mercy. Look for daily opportunities to show mercy. This could mean giving someone the benefit of the doubt, choosing not to escalate a conflict, or offering to help someone who has made a mistake instead of criticizing them. Holy Spirit will guide you and instruct you how to extend forgiveness, even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when maybe your mind is saying, "They don't deserve." Well, neither did we. And while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Holding on to grudges is a form of personal vengeance. To understand divine justice, you must practice forgiveness. Forgiving others for the wrongs they've done and forgiving yourself for your own failings. How often do we forget to do that? Forgive ourselves because we might not have been good enough in a situation, or we might have done the wrong thing in a certain situation. This does not mean condoning the wrong and saying what they did is right. It means releasing your desire for retribution and giving it to God for his justice. Holy Spirit will guide you and instruct you how to seek to understand before you're being understood. Did you get that? Seek to understand the other person before you seek to have what you want understood by the other. Our judgments are often based on incomplete information. Take time to listen to others' stories, especially those whom you disagree with or those that have been accused of wrongdoing. Understanding their perspective, their pain, or their circumstance is a crucial step to being more compassionate, and it is a complete form of justice. Holy Spirit will guide and instruct you to focus on repairing harm. Restoration. When a wrong has been committed, shift your focus from how can the offender be punished to how can the harm be repaired. This is an essence of restorative justice. It involves acknowledging the pain caused and finding ways to make things right for the victim and the community that are around. The Holy Spirit will guide and instruct you to uphold the dignity of every person. Divine justice sees an inherent God giving worth and seeing worth in absolutely every single individual, regardless of their status, their wealth, or their actions. Practice treating everyone, from the CEO of a business, to the politician, to the unhoused person you see on the street, to the victim accused. We treat them with fundamental dignity and respect. Holy Spirit will guide and instruct you to advocate for the vulnerable. A constant theme in the Bible is God's special concern for the poor, the oppressed, the widow, the orphan, the stranger. A key part of the divine justice is defending those who can't defend themselves. Get involved in your community. Support causes that lift up the marginalized, the real marginalized, I'll add, and speak out against injustice. The Holy Spirit will guide and instruct you to engage deeply with the Bible. Engage deeply with the Bible. This is our primary record of humanity's struggle to understand God's divine justice. Consistent study shapes your heart and shapes your mind. The Holy Spirit will guide and instruct you to let go of that need of final vengeance. See, part of our faith is trusting in God, trusting in his ultimate justice, believing that in the end, all accounts will be settled, all wrongs will be made right on a cosmic scale. This trust frees you from the heavy burden of needing to be the one who deals out that final punishment, allowing you, me, to focus on mercy and restoration, not in the future, in the here and now. The Holy Spirit will instruct and guide you to act justly in the small things. Justice isn't just for the courtrooms and grand social movements. Practice it in your daily life. Be honest in your business dealings. Be fair in your family disputes. Keep your promises and act with integrity, especially when no one's watching. Because someone's watching. And your whole life is laid bare before God. A just life is built with one small, tiny, moral choice at a time. Jesus has come, and he will return. When he comes back, the world is going to experience his justice. And it's us first. The Bible's very clear. The church, the followers first. The professing believers first, then the rest of the world. Without the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will know the terrible day of the Lord. Because you will feel terrible on that day. Your life and heart will be laid bare. With the Holy Spirit sealing your life, you will experience the great day of the Lord. Because you opened your life up to Christ and took upon yourself his salvation. You're going to feel great. You're going to feel great. So, where are you today, right now? I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. I was once sealed by the Holy Spirit. I have never been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? If it's changing, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, so that with the Holy Spirit can be inside God's justice. When we finish, make a stand and come down the front and give your life to Jesus. Man, it's that simple. That's the easy part. The hard part is walking that for the rest of your life as he refines your attitudes. You know, the soap that it talks about. Everyone talks about the refining of silver, so I'm not going to. The soap that was talked about in Malachi. They roughly rub it into the material. They beat the material to get the soap through it, and it cleanses it. Some of the things and challenges that we have in our lives are going to take a bit of hard work. It's not going to be easy. It's going to feel rough. It's going to hurt. But surely the promise is better than and bigger than that momentary piece of hurt when you've got to put something right, when you've got to forgive someone, when you've got to say sorry to someone, when you've got to do the right thing in a situation, where everyone else in your people group is doing the wrong thing and you're doing the right thing. Make a stand. Don't go home today on the wrong side of God's justice. I mean that. Don't go home today without being... If you're listening online, don't come back here without being on the right... No, do come back here. You need to get your life right. I don't even know where the camera is, so I can't even know where... Oh, there it is. Right, I'm looking at you now. If that's not you, oh my goodness, make a stand. Ask Jesus to come into your life and then get on the phone. Once we finish here, though, because we don't want phones going off, ring someone up and go, I've asked Jesus to come into my life. Can you now walk with me in that journey? Can you point me to a life group that will help me to walk in that journey? Can you point me to someone who's way ahead of me spiritually that can help me in my journey because I want to be where they have been? Where's someone that's more ahead of where I'm at today that I can hang around with and glean from and have iron sharpening iron and grow in my faith? Do it today. Maybe you're a bit like Israel and you're feeling that the Lord, maybe you're a bit like Israel, feeling that the world is against you. The world is against you. Evil is winning. Bad people are prospering. The challenges and the struggles of the world are choking and struggling for you to see God's justice and his perfect timing of breakthrough. His perfect timing of breakthrough is a reality for you. Maybe you can't see that right now. Come and cast your burdens on Jesus. We want to pray with you. Because cast your burdens onto Jesus. Nobody? Because he cares for you. We used to sing that at children's church. It's so true. It's so true. Now, you always ask for prayer. You always try to get people at the front. Maybe you're too busy pointing the finger at what everyone else is doing. Ah, that guy's wrong. That guy's doing that. That church is apostate. And you're pointing the finger. And you can't see your own hypocrisy. You can't see your own hypocrisy. You need Jesus. You need someone to pray for you and break that off your life. I don't offer prayer to you because that's how we finish a sermon. Because that's what we do. Because we're Christians. I don't offer it to you because it's a Christian thing to do. Or for whatever reason you might be thinking he's offering prayer. I offer prayer for you because it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Heaven meets you, your world, in prayer. When I pray for you, I expect God to move.
Hallelujah.
And I've seen him move this week. In the lives of others. I expect God to move and situations to change. Do you know what that's called? It's called faith. I believe my God answers prayer. I believe we were singing it. I speak Jesus into your healing. Into anywhere in your life you have bondage. Into anything that's not going well for you as a family, as a person. At your workplace, in your home. I speak Jesus into that. And when I pray, I expect God to do something. No, we're going to finish with a waiata shortly. And it's the Lord's Prayer. But it's in Te Reo Māori. But what does it say? His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. His will manifesting on earth as it is manifesting in heaven. That's why I like praying for people. I want to tell you something. The sooner you start doing it, the sooner you're going to see some miracles happen. But I believe God encounters us when we pray for each other. Something in the Bible says, you know, we two or more gather together, something like that. Commands a blessing or something like that.
Amen.
So when you're offering your, when you're opening up your heart to have someone pray for you, to share your circumstances, there's that other thing that says a burden shared is halved or something. I don't know if it actually feels like that in the middle of the struggle. But see what? We invite God to come into that situation. And he is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same for eternity on forwards from this moment. Can we do the slide, please, Eric? So if you know the words, please help me to sing. I'm going to turn my microphone off because when I sing into the microphone, it sounds worse than when I sing to myself.
Yeah.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Hey, look, very shortly the cafe's going to be open. And you're going to be able to go. Well, the cafe's not going to be open, but the coffee and tea is going to be open. And you're going to be able to go and do that. I want to encourage you, grab one of these. The 10 applications of God's justice are on here. Take one off the stand out there, put it in your Bible, have a look at it. If you want prayer or ministry for anything at all, then I want you to come down the front. And I think my wife has a word. She's busy waving at me.
I see that hand.
Hang on, dear.
Good morning, peoples. You are more precious than diamonds. You are the jewels burning bright for Jesus. In the darkness, Jesus saves. He brings life. He is our grace and our healing. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your souls. This is really hard for me to do. But some of you people need to wake up and have got a God experience. See the miracle happen. Let your eyes and hearts be open to what Jesus wants to do in your mind, body and soul. Let the light in shine. Let the light shine from out of you in to other people.
Awesome.
To the world.
Awesome. Thank you, babe.
You may have the microphone.
Last one.
Actually, there is a few in this church. Don't go away. Some of you do need prayer. You have to come up the front. Do not be afraid. God is here with you. So you have to come up for prayer for those who need to. Okay, there's about two or three of you that need to come up for prayer.
My wife doesn't normally do that. Get up publicly, publicly speaking in front of people terrifies her. If you need ministry, then come up. If you don't need ministry, then I'm going to ask that if you're going to talk and have conversations, that you take those out to the outside and allow God to minister in here. Fiona is a great giver of words over people's lives. They come true. So she's going to be up the front. If you need a word over your life, Fiona's up here. It's a gifting that she has. She hears from God and she'll speak it out over your life, whether you like it happening or not.